there any question particularly concerning this consecration period? One thing you will observe is that throughout, if you really faithfully follow in this consecration period, there will be some unusual experiences some of us may be having. Dreams. And every dream you have, especially on the negative side, is not for you to be discouraged. It is a prayer point God is showing you to attack in this period. It's a prayer point. Maybe something hiding around you, God will begin to expose it. Especially in dreams, you begin to see it. So don't you get discouraged. Let every dream be a prayer point. Attack it. And I told you that God does not entertain anybody. If God gives you a revelation, it is because you have the ability to do something concerning that revelation. If you don't have, you will show somebody else who can intervene on your behalf. This is a period to have personal experiences with God and to have spiritual breakthrough. Take advantage of it. Praise God. So any question?
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Sir, please, I want to know how long consecration can last. How long can it last? Does it expire?
Consecration?
Yes, sir. You know why I ask this question? One can consecrate himself and believe that he has been consecrated, and that's an opportunity to go out and do other things. Is it a continual process that one needs to adopt to it and continue in it?
The Christian life is a life of consecration. Christianity is a life. It's a life of consecration. Do you know the English word? Consecration is an English word. Do you know the meaning of it? Anybody has dictionary in your phone? Can you look out for the word consecration? To consecrate anything is to set it apart unto the Lord. To consecrate anything is to set that thing apart, to dedicate it unto the Lord. It's to hand over that thing to the Lord. You have consecrated it to keep it holy. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see God. So consecration is a continuous process.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Yes?
Pastor, the other day you were saying that if a husband of a woman is not in the business of this consecration, fasting and other things, that the woman must go ahead and obey, even though she is fasting, that she still have to perform the responsibility of cooking for her husband. Pastor, in the process of that cooking for that her husband, can she test the soup or whatever she's cooking? Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Because there's no way you can cook soup as a woman without knowing very sure, being very sure of the pepper or salt or whatever, whether it is in order. Oh, can she test it?
Hallelujah. Listen.
Amen.
Church, listen. Listen. Every Christian, fasting is part of our life. This is a group fast. That's why we are even talking about it. Because we as a group, as a church, decided to set a period for fasting. That's why we even talk it like this. You know, the Christian women have their days that they fast. And The Lord Jesus taught us, when you fast, you don't announce to people that you are fasting. And please, what is fast? Fasting is abstinence from whatever you choose to abstain from. You decide what you want to abstain, and you decide to what extent you want to go in the abstinence. If you may decide that I don't want to eat food and water, I will just go dry like that. Even my saliva, I'm going to pour outside. I'm not going to swallow. You make the decision depending on why you are doing it, and God honors it. And you may decide, I will fast, but I'll be drinking water. You made a decision, God will honor it. Now, in a period like this, I've received some questions from, you know, brethren, some brethren. Let me start with the food. That a woman is cooking food and she wants to test to see whether the salt is enough, it tastes well, or whatever it is. Does that make her eat? Does it mean she has eaten? So, we have to look at it that way. She has not eaten. Even if she swallows what she tests, it will not stop hunger. It's not a meal she has eaten. In fact, by testing itself, she's provoking the anger the more, the hunger. So, the motive is what God looks at. It is not eating. By testing to make sure she performs her duty and cooks the right food for her husband. Nothing is wrong with it.
Pastor, another question.
Yes. Now, I want to go further.
No, that one is answered.
I want to go further.
Okay.
Now, a woman that is fasting and her husband is not fasting, and they are married, and the man decides to make love to his wife. Now, she won't go to him and tell him, say, I am fasting, stay away. Now, if he's spiritual enough, he should stay away. But if he's like a dog, who, when the thing come on him, you know the reason again. Then, the woman has to know that it is his duty. It is her duty. It is her responsibility. He demands it. He should give it to her. It has not broken your fast. Praise God. It has not broken your fast. And secondly, the husband and the woman, you are all fasting. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's read something Apostle Paul said there. See, verse 3. Are we there? This is the way Apostle Paul put it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 3 says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has no power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also, the husband has no power of his own body, but the wife. That is talking about sexual union. When the man needs it, the woman must give him. When the woman needs it, the man must give her. That is what Apostle Paul is saying there. Now let's go to verse 5. Defraud, that is deprive ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinencies. So The two of you can agree to stay away from sexual union for a period for the purpose of fasting and prayer. So, fasting is abstaining from all pleasure, including sexual pleasure. If you agree, let it stay like that. But if the other one say, lie, I know the fast reach that level, you have no power of your own body. God bless you. It was hard writing on the wall. It was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved.
Everything we receive from God is by faith. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Fruit of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available.
The trials of a Christian.
Christians face trials. The God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world.
Praise God, Pastor. Another question I want to ask you, Pastor. You know, many of us, like, we are baptized in Catholic Church when we are small by sprinkling of water. Eh? Now that we are taught that the real baptism is by immersion, we are still in that baby character. The understanding is still somehow childish. From the first time we heard it from you, and we went into the water, and after that, so many things was happening because we don't really know the meaning of what we did. So, Pastor, when we now grow older and begin to realize the full meaning of consecration, like we are going through now, do we go back to this water to make our calling and election sure?
If, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When you give your life to Christ, listen. Listen. And listen very well, church. Water baptism is not the new birth. You are not born again because you went for water baptism. And you cannot talk of a baby Christian until you have been born again. You become a baby from the day you are born again. Then you grow to maturity. After you are born again. Water baptism, I repeat, is to position you to be born again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I know I'm saying something strange now.
Yes.
Yes. Water baptism is the process of justification. Where the sin that has separated us from God, from the Garden of Eden. When Adam fell to sin, Adam and Eve, the glory of God departed. Sin separated man from God. Until we were not qualified to even see His glory. That's why when He was given the pattern of the building of the temple to Moses, He had to have the different courts, and then where His glory dwelt, there was a veil that covered it. So that, because a sinful man cannot behold the glory of God. That's why the veil covered the Holy of Holies in the temple. But Christ came and paid the supreme price. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He offered that sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and made a way for us to approach the glory of God. That is why that temple, on the day that Christ gave up the ghost, the temple, the veil that covered the Holy of Holies, that separated the congregation, was torn from up down, making us know that we now have access to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when you have access, he now said in Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come to me, ye all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now you can come to God, and then he will do something. Hallelujah. That thing that he does is what changes your nature. Now, John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5 says, "Except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom." So what verse 3 is saying there is, except a man be born again, he cannot see. It means you can't understand the kingdom. Because Nicodemus came and was asking him. He said, "Master, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. We know." But, you know, he knew where he was coming from. And he quickly asked him, you know, answered him, "You are coming to me now. You think you understand. You will never understand what is going on concerning what I'm doing, except you are born again." That's what he was telling him. And Nicodemus asked him, "What do you mean? Will a man again go and enter the mother's womb?" He said, "You see now, you see the way you're looking at it." And then he quickly told him, "Except a man be born of the water and of the spirit." Now, the water there is the water. Hallelujah. The water there, one, water baptism that cleanses you, and the water of the word. What cleanses us from sin? The cleansing from sin. We have two types of sin. The first sin is the one we inherited from Adam and Eve. And when you enter that water and come out in water baptism, you identify with God's provision for that sin to be remitted. Now, secondly, there is also a nature in you that needs to be dealt with. That is the sinful nature which water baptism cannot take care of. But the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. When that word of God, Jeremiah called it like a hammer, you know, comes upon you, then you understand why Jesus said in Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 says, "We are washed by the water of the word." The word of God you receive every day washes you, cleanses you. "Except a man be born of water and of the spirit." What spirit? The spirit there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost comes on a sinner, then it transforms that sinner to a saint. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you will be my witnesses." Praise the Lord. So that is what changes you, and you grow in it. The stature of perfection in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you read it down up to verse 12, that is the stature where he says you should add to your faith what? Virtue. Add to virtue what? Knowledge. Add to knowledge what? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
7 steps. Temperance. After temperance, what do we have? Patience. After patience, what do we have? There are 7 of them like that. Well, that is the stature. You are supposed to grow from that level to that level. And in Hebrews chapter 6, Apostle Paul was telling us that we should move from this elementary water baptism, laying on the hand, all this. I say we should move to perfection. Moving to perfection, that is moving to maturity. When you are born again, I think Peter is the one that said, as newborn babes, he said we should desire the sincere milk of the word. When a little baby is born, he is fed with milk. It is the milk that strengthens the baby, and then you grow. And that is likened to the word of God. And that is why too, that we have in Isaiah chapter 28, it says, who shall we teach knowledge? Amen. Where he says, he said, them, who are those that you teach knowledge? He said, them that are weaned from the breasts. They are those that they are matured enough to be taught knowledge. That is those who have their standing on the breast that fed them, they nourishes them. And I said that it makes us look like the young child, the little child that the mother gives birth to. When God created the woman, he did not give her one breast. How many breasts did he give her? 2. One on the left, one on the right. For what purpose? The breast there is to nourish the child that she will bring forth. And when he said, them that are weaned from the breasts, that is, he's telling you that look at that woman. The woman there is a type of God. God is referred to as Jehovah El Shaddai. El Shaddai there is the strength giver, otherwise known as the breasted one. And he gave a type in the woman. The woman has 2 breasts, one on the left, one on the right. Jehovah El Shaddai also has 2 breasts, Old Testament and New Testament. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Them that are weaned from the breast, they are those that he will teach knowledge. And that is how we grow from the word. Feed on the word. Thank you. Not water baptism.
Thank you, Father.
Welcome to the Bright Voice.
Surprise.
Father, my God, you own my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord. To worship you.
Final question, Pastor, concerning the same consecration. Now you have made me to understand what water can do and what the word can also do. I can see the difference now. Thank you very much. The last one, Pastor. Luke chapter 11. You taught us here some time ago when the apostles was asking Jesus to teach them how to pray, like John also teach his own disciples. He now went down until he said, Jesus, God will give you Holy Ghost to them that ask him. He said, Jesus, in that prayer that Jesus was teaching us,
okay,
at last he said, Will God not give them to them Holy Ghost to them that ask?
Yes.
Fine. And you told us, Pastor, that one cannot go to heaven except by Holy Ghost, except he receive Holy Ghost. You said it, Pastor.
Bible talk cannot be me.
Okay. Now, when I did my pastoral college in Yanipaja, when we finished, Pastor, they said, today you are going to speak in tongues. Today is, you are receiving Holy Ghost today. I look at them as mental disorder people. How can I begin to talk something I don't know? So all that process, people begin to talk by force. I didn't talk because I don't even understand what they're saying. Hello, Pastor?
Yes.
Fine. So, now, you have told us that one cannot make this heaven, which means no matter what you do, your sacrifice or your whatever you do in this church or anywhere, you cannot make heaven until you receive this Holy Ghost. And Jesus must have known, seen the importance of receiving it. That's why he said, ask to them that asketh of it.
Yes.
What is the certainty?
The certainty of what?
What is the certainty? What is the assurance
that you will get?
What is the manifestation that this Holy Ghost have come to be in me?
Oh.
Is it by speaking in tongues? Or what will show us that this man or me, what will I see myself now that become very, very sure that I have received this Holy Ghost, Pastor? Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now that's a very interesting question. Amen.
Amen.
We have an assurance. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, he said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children.
He said so.
I say, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? So that is number one certainty. We know that if we ask for the Holy Ghost, he will give us the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the next question is, what is the evidence?
How do we know that the Holy Ghost has come? Is it by what we see today? All the barakata, barakata, all over. All this chantaraba, chantarama, bada, bada, bada. I don't like it, Pastor. So what?
Hallelujah.
We become
praise
very
the Lord.
Sure.
You are mixing two things together. Amen. Listen, church. There is the manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit. That is what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Those 9 spiritual gifts there. They are the manifestation of the Spirit. But remember, you can't talk about manifestation. Listen, church. Somebody may be hearing us for the first time. Please listen carefully. The manifestation of the Spirit, that is, you have the Holy Ghost. Listen. You have the Holy Ghost, then he manifests through you. That is, to let people know that there is the supernatural God around you, in you. It manifests in two ways. One is the operations of those gifts. And secondly, the fruit of the Spirit. The two of them flow together. And it is very easy to mix the misunderstand the two. I repeat, the two must flow together. You cannot manifest one in isolation of the other. The gifts will flow and the fruit will also flow. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What are the fruits? Okay, go to Galatians. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5. Are we there? From verse 22.
Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law."
The fruit of the Spirit, they are what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's use the account of Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. I love the way Luke put it. Amen. Are we there? Verse 43. "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit." In my Bible, it is underlined. A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather the grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." If I don't even say anything, yeah, I think that speaks for itself. The Holy Ghost living inside of it is the Spirit that you are possessed with. The nature you are possessed with is expressed by the life that you live. You cannot have the Holy Ghost and live like the devil. You are living like the devil is because the devil is living inside of you. Am I clear? Now listen. I said the two must flow. Not one in isolation of the other. Now, because there are people that are of high moral standard, moral discipline, moralists. They show love more than anything else. They will show, tolerance, and look, they can give, even plug their eye to give. Some of them donate even their kidney for another person to live. Now, the Bible calls it self-righteousness. Amen. Now, you must notice, if you express all that by your ability, that is self-righteousness. There are people that don't have the Holy Ghost, but all this fruit of the Spirit, they express it. But if it is the Holy Ghost that dwells in you by those fruits and by those also supernatural actions known as the gifts of the Spirit or the manifestation of the Spirit, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Open it. From verse 7. Yes.
12:7.
Yes.
"But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with us."
You are to profit with it, yes.
"For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom."
Word of wisdom.
"To another the word of knowledge."
Word of knowledge.
"By the same Spirit."
Yes.
"To another faith."
Faith.
"By the same Spirit." "To another the gift of healing."
Gift of healing.
"By the same Spirit." To another, the working of miracles.
Working of miracles.
To another, prophecy.
Prophecy.
To another, discerning of the spirit.
Discerning of spirit.
To another, diverse kinds of
diverse kinds of tongues.
To another, the interpretation of tongues.
To another, interpretation of tongues.
But all these worketh that.
Now, nine of them, they are the manifestation of the Spirit. If you are, if you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, one of the evidence is this manifestation. Every Christian that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God comes by His Spirit and dwells inside of you. At least one of these gifts, you must express it. You must. So, here you are. You cannot be manifesting all this wonderful fruit of the Spirit and deny the other manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost. It is evidence you have not received the Holy Ghost. The other way around, you can also manifest all these gifts. If you lack this fruit of the Spirit, you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because the anointing of the Holy Ghost is different from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, anointing of the Holy Ghost, is God wanting to use anybody around and finds you capable of doing what He wants to do and brings His hand upon you, releases the anointing, gives you the gift to be able to fulfill His purpose. And because you are not ordained to go, He leaves you with the anointing, and then anytime you shake your head like Samson, the anointing will come, but you may still be sleeping with a Delilah somewhere. You understand? And remember, the gift and calling of God is without repentance. He gives you the gift, He does not take it back. He gives you that gift. And that is where so many people misunderstand. And they rate their standing with God by the manifestation of the Spirit around them and think that they are right with God irrespective of the life that they live. And not knowing that it's just... And remember also that every gift of the Holy Ghost, Satan can impersonate it. Amen. That is why I said they too must flow as evidence of the Holy Ghost. There are other evidences, but this is the major one that immediately somebody looking at you can say, yes, you have received the Holy Ghost. But there are others. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are others. Because the Bible, you don't talk about the evidence of the Holy Ghost. I always make this statement. You cannot talk about the evidence of the Holy Ghost until you are able to establish the purpose of the Holy Ghost. If you don't know the purpose, how will you be talking about the evidence? And the purpose of the Holy Ghost is not to make us see visions. No, that's not the purpose. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is not to make us speak in tongues. How can Jesus Christ go and suffer all that humiliating death only for you to be speaking in tongues? Babala was speaking in tongues. They speak in tongues. So you don't imagine that Jesus Christ suffered all He suffered so that you and I will be speaking in tongues. No! It's more than that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you have to know, one, He is a teacher. So He is, He said, He will lead you to all. He will guide you to all truth. So, you cannot have the Holy Ghost and worship God in error. No. He will lead you to all truth. Why? Because the Bible calls Him the Spirit of Truth. If the spirit of truth dwells inside of you, it filters error when you see it. And that's why, for instance, you could be in that setting and those blind pastors will say, everybody stand up and begin to speak in tongue. Other people will be speaking in tongue, but something inside of you will say, no, this is not correct. The others will be blah blah. What they are saying, they only I have never seen the level that Satan has done, what he has done to make caricature of Christianity. He has never done that level in any other religion. It's just Christianity. Eh? How can somebody come and tell you, open your mouth? Are you ready? Receive the Holy Ghost. Or you begin to speak in tongues. It's the highest caricature. Because it does not even make sense. It doesn't make sense that you open your mouth, say anything, just say it anyhow. Say it anyhow. Why do I need a pastor to teach me how to say it anyhow? I can say it anyhow, anywhere. And what it does is it makes you think you have that precious thing that you need. It deceives you that you have it. Meanwhile, you don't have it. But there is the genuine speaking in tongue. And the genuine speaking in tongue, we have a key in Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 2. They speak as, that is the key, as the pastor gave them utterance. They speak as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Utterance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Every gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, every gift there is an action of the Holy Ghost. Every gift, including the gift of faith. Some people don't even understand what that gift, the manifestation of faith, what it is all about. And it must be activated by the Holy Ghost. And faith is the boldness that comes and refuses any negativity. So for somebody to say, let's stand up and everybody, let's just worship God, just begin to pray in the spirit, open your mouth and begin to speak in tongue. Ha! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is wrong. If you are speaking in such tongue, stop it. I always say something because you don't even know what you are saying. You don't know whether you are cursing yourself or you are cursing God. You don't know whether that's the reason why your problem never changed. Be sure that it is an action of the Holy Ghost. And you will enjoy it. The best one, the best gift for self-edification. Hallelujah. To charge yourself in the spirit. That gift is for you. It's the gift of speaking in tongue. Because speaking in tongue is no longer you speaking. It is the Holy Ghost that takes over. Even you in your conscience, you are hearing yourself saying what you are saying. Amen. And when that gift starts initially, before you get used to it, to stop, you can't stop. When you try to stop, the thing will increase. So that you will know that this is not you. This is the Creator Himself, by His Spirit, speaking through you. Amen. But as time goes on, praise God, you get used to it, like all other gifts, and then you can stop because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And let me quickly tell you too that speaking in tongue, the tongue that you speak, it will not be one particular sentence you'll be repeating. It will be. And remember that there is tongue and there is interpretation of tongue. That means speaking in tongue is supposed to be a prophetic anointing. That is why you speak in an unknown tongue, there is somebody to understand what you are saying and give the meaning. and it is always a message. But when you have to speak to yourself, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you are speaking to yourself for your own edification. And that is why it is wrong to stand in the church, carry microphone and blah, 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 and speak in tongue. And you think you are doing something. 1 Corinthians 14, Apostle Paul condemns that. He even said that if everybody stands up in the church and begin to speak in tongue, and a visitor enters among you, and sees everybody, he said, would that person think that you are mad? It's in the Bible. Oh yeah, open it, 1 Corinthians 14. It's in the Bible. Look. Don't think I'm saying something because some people believe their pastor. So even if you are showing them something that is in the Bible, lie, what is this man saying? Which Bible school you go? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 23. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another verse there said that we think that you are barbarians. So the idea of everybody, stand up everybody, lift up your voice and hey mama, and then they are thinking they are in the spirit. You are not in the spirit. Nothing. It's just carnality in expression. And some do like that and tears are coming out of their eyes. Maybe they think of your boyfriend who disappointed you, not making you cry. The Holy Ghost, lie. Not the Holy Ghost cry with that. Nothing like that. Hallelujah. Our eyes of understanding He has opened up at last, and true victory is ours. We are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, whose original. Amen. It's original Christianity. Back to Bible Christianity. Praise the Lord. But I want to believe that you are not asking this question for yourself.
Pastor, I am really indeed asking it for myself.
No, because this program we are holding, this June program, we echo it every time. And we've been doing this for the past 14 years. This program, because we have always believed, when this ministry started, personally, I've always believed that what we stand for, doctrine-wise, in the midst of the gross heresies, gross errors that the denominations have gone, for us to come out and begin to say things contrary to what we have been baptized into, where our brains have been, manipulated into, for anybody to believe what we are preaching, the person will need the Holy Ghost. For a young girl in this age to stop wearing trousers. And we are going to show you from the scripture that a Christian woman should not wear that type of cloth. It will be more than show the person in the Bible. The person will need the Holy Ghost. For a young girl to stop spoiling her hair with chemicals and painting and all those funny dressings of the world, the worldly fashions, and dress like a lady in this age, we knew that the person we need the Holy Ghost. And so we decided, let's emphasize the baptism of the Holy Ghost so that the people can understand what we are teaching them. Because the Holy Ghost will lead you to all truth. That's the truth. And so we have emphasized it all these years. So if somebody who has been under this ministry for so long, then it is possible that you purposely were not yet interested. You are just beginning to be interested now to go to heaven. Praise God. Okay, so your question has helped us to educate some who have not heard us before. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the evidence of the Holy Ghost is, these are some of them. You know, William Branham told us, he said that when you see anybody, a woman, for instance, that is very anointed, and she's pastoring a church, and you want to know whether that woman, the anointing she's using, is the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he said, go and meet her and give her the word test. He said, open the Bible and show her. 1 Timothy chapter 2, that it is not permitted for a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. If she does not bow to the word, he said, the spirit she has is not the Holy Ghost. Because if you have the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Ghost that wrote the Bible. The Holy Ghost inside of you will bear witness with that of the Bible. And there are several examples of women that came across this thing we are preaching, and they left the pulpit, handed over to their husbands, and sat down as a wonderful sister, elder sister in the church. Where some will say, no. That scripture was for the Corinthians. That time there were problems in Corinth, and Apostle Paul was setting the church in order. No. Now, they quote another scripture. There is neither male nor female. Galatians chapter 3. We are all one. You see? Praise the Lord. But they have forgotten that the same Apostle Paul that said there is neither male nor female in to the Galatians was the same one that said, but I permit not a woman to teach. It's the same person. So if he wrote it for the Corinthian women, where is the one for Nigerian women? But if he said, but my God shall supply all your need, you say that one is for everybody. You see? Praise God. Give the person the word test. Amen. Okay. Now, let me just give one more scripture. The truth is that some people are born again by the will of a man. John chapter 1. This is what he said. Verse 11, 12, and 13. See the way he put it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, watch the wording, listen carefully. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which we are born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of who? Of God. That scripture is loaded. I read again. Verse 13. The which we are born. That is to be born again. You are born again. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. That is, you did not just decide one day, say, from now, today, I'll be born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Nor of the will of man. It's not a man that said today, compulsory, You, my daughter, you must be born again today. But of the will of God. Why did he say of the will of God? Are we together? If you are still listening to me, let me see your hand up. I want to drop something here. Thank you very much. Amen. The will of man, and a lot of pastors are getting the people born again by their will. After preaching the message, you want to be born again? Stand up. You stand up. Say after me. Father, from today, I give my life to Christ. For it is written, with the heart I believe it, unto the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I confess today all my sins. I confess the Lordship of Jesus. Write my name in the book of life. Father, I confess from today. Are you saying after me? I am born again. Say it from today. And then you hear me. I am born again. Did you say that? You are born again. Look for any living church around you and attend it and go get yourself a Bible and now begin to go and receive the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. And, oh, congratulations. Oh, my. There are so many. You are all born again. Oh, my. You see, oh, heaven is rejoicing now. You are born again. Did you say after me? Yes, you are born again. Now you are born again by the will of that pastor. Not the will of God. Let me tell you, show you the will of God. In John chapter 4, chapter 6, verse 44. He said, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. Listen, you are hearing me now. I said born again by the will of God, not the will of man, not the will of the flesh. He said, I'm quoting that verse again, verse 44 of John chapter 6. Amen. He said, no man can come. Why did he say so? Jesus Christ stood and shouted in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then blind pastors will say, come, Jesus is, come home, come home, oh ye are weary. Come up earnestly, tenderly. Jesus is calling, calling. Oh, sinner, come home. So every sinner, run up. Amen. See, this come to me. Listen, number one, it is not come with leg. It's not come with leg, it's the heart. You may come with the leg, but your heart is far from him. That is why, listen, church. Jesus said, come to me. But the same Jesus again said, although I say, come to me, in Matthew 11:28. In John chapter 6, he said, no one can answer that call and come except the Father that sent me draw you to come. So you can see that salvation is deeper than that. Deeper than what we're seeing today. That's why we're having everybody say, I'm born again, and they are messing up Christianity until you don't even know the meaning of true Christianity anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this for somebody to take the eternal destination more seriously. What they have been presenting to the world as the journey to eternal destination is a lie. It's a journey to hell. by the spirit of error. That's why God in his mercy, knowing this will happen, he reserved a ministry in Malachi chapter 4. Oh! Continue to thank God for that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is shouting, come out of her, my people. Come out of error. Come back to Bible Christianity. He said, no man can come to me. No man can come to him. Except the Father draw you. You are a Christian because God draw you if you are a true Christian. Amen. And listen, hallelujah. If it is God that call you, he said, all things, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. God calls you for a purpose. Amen. And verse 29 says, to let you know why he called you and he did not call other people that end up in hell. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Your destination was determined before you started. Through a foreknowledge of something concerning you that God knows. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. See now, what is your destiny? To be a millionaire? According to the Bible, what is your destiny? Your destiny, according to that verse, we are predestinated to conform to the image of Jesus. That's how our song is. From Bethlehem manger came forth a stranger. On earth I long to be like him. All true life's joy from earth to glory. Of a Christian. Your destiny is not to be a billionaire. No. Your destiny, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn because others too are coming behind. Hallelujah. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son.
Yes, we are children.
We are children
of the kingdom.
Of the kingdom.
We are family.
We are family.
Yes, we are one.
We
are
one faith. One love, one baptism. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One God. Not three persons in one God. One God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he went further in verse 30. Moreover, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, well, how did he put it in verse 30? Whom he predestinated, them he called. Is that how it is put in verse 30? Romans chapter 8. Then whom he did predestinate, them he called. Can you see the call now? And whom them he called, He does what? He justifies. And does what? And glorifies. Glorification there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Justification there is leading you to correct water baptism for your sins to be remitted. Because it's not everyone that will have their sins remitted. People will hold Bible and yet they are there with their sins. Because they have not yet been justified. And if it's the one that has justified you, he will glorify you. That is the new birth. Then you go to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. This is the way he put it in verse 18. Hallelujah. He says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. You see? But if you are born of the will of man, you will continue your sin. Because the power that transforms can never flow if you are born by the will of a man. Or by the will of your flesh. You see, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That is, that person has no pleasure in sin. But he that is begotten of God, what does he do? Keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. I'm answering your question as the evidence of the Holy Ghost. I think I've answered you. Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says, the bride has made herself ready.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, please, I want to ask two questions. My first question is, what is the difference between God in appearing in angelic form and an angel?
Yes. Anytime God wants to do anything, remember that God is a spirit. And the nature of the spirit that God is, you cannot call him a personality. Because you can't draw his picture. He is so big until wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. And the Bible says that heaven is his throne and the earth is what? His footstool. That is, he's so big until when he decides to sit down in heaven, his leg will rest on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And then it was saying, I think, to the psalmist, where he says that what house can you build for him that you think God will go and dwell? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, but each time he wants to appear to his children, man, he will take a form that he can use to relate to that person he wants to appear. So he would take the form of an angel and come and talk with you. He has his angels. Sometimes he even comes in the form of a man. Some people have met an old man on the road before that spoke with you. And you will speak with so much how definite that, you know, when you turn and you look, you discover that he has disappeared. Okay? And he can descend so low until he can begin to speak to you. You will hear his voice speaking to you. So, the angelic presence of God is God coming to you in the form of an angel. Now, how do you know the difference between the real angels and him? Is that an angel is a messenger, and he will always bring a message. Therefore, he will not speak in the authority of him. He will always speak making reference to the one that sent him. I am sent. The Lord said, this will happen. This will happen. But if it is God, he will speak with authority. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. That is God speaking to you. And then also, sometimes when he truly wants you to know that it is him, he lets his glory come. You can't withstand it. You will shake, all your bones will go until he disappears. Then you will not say, no be ordinary angel, come. Okay. But he can also humble himself until he can sit down with Abraham and eat barbecue. That is the God we serve. He can decide to humble and he can decide to come in a glory that nobody will be able to see it. That is the God we serve. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Then yes. My second question is, how are we the word that made flesh today? Is there any scripture that back it up?
No, when you say you are the word, because our hymn says we are the word made flesh today. You know, the word of God lived is the word made flesh. When you have the ability to live according to the word of God, then that word of God becomes flesh. You are able to live by the word. That is the word made flesh today.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Yes.
Good morning, sir. God bless you, sir. So my question is, I want to ask, is it not unscriptural to be, when you are fasting, to be taking water, to be drinking water?
I think I've answered that.
And
nothing wrong with drinking water. You set for yourself how you want to do the fast.
Sir, what I want to bring out is that I think it is unscriptural, because there's nowhere, when we say fasting, that is without food, to punish this, our flesh. Because why I say this is that it has been bothering me on Sunday when you were teaching on that. So somebody asked, sir, can we drink water? So people that were sitting by my back, all of them, they were just happy, jubilating. You are now talking because you said they should drink water. So I don't, since the last one we took, since I've joined this church, I don't take water.
Listen, brother. Amen. You have not seen. Who declared that fast? We declare the fast. And we set the boundaries of the fast. If God speaks to you directly, fast, he will also tell you to what limit you are to go. And for how long. Fasting is for self-consecration. And remember that you are not fasting and sitting down somewhere. We're going about our businesses. We'll be sweating. Like I am talking now. My throat will dry. I will need to take it. We must follow the rules for divine health. If not, in fasting, you will die for nothing. from fasting, you will create another problem for yourself. But all those who do fasting without drinking water, they always check some things they do so that you don't get exhausted. But whatever it is, not even going that way, you decide the limit you want to go. You can decide that you will, you know, you will not drink water. They call it dry fasting. That is the grace upon you. Brother, I've answered your question.
Okay, sir. Lastly, sir, I want to ask about Holy Spirit. You've told us the evidence of Holy Spirit. When you have it, you will know by your fruits and by the manifestation of a grit of the gift. Sir, firstly, this I want to ask two questions on this, very short. The first one is that if you truly you know in yourself that you have the Holy Spirit, so the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting very well. But the one of the man, can it be manipulated? That is, it will not be, it will come today, it will not be flowing.
What, the gift?
The gift.
Whether it can be manipulated?
That it will not be, you know you have it, but.
Every gift can be manipulated. Every gift. That's why you are supposed to be very watchful and you're supposed to be very prayerful. If you know you have any gift, it can be manipulated.
Thank you, sir. The second one is that
when you are in the spirit prophesying, a witch can enter spirit and throw something on you. And if you are not strong, you are finished.
Thank you, sir. The second one is that
and somebody can lay hand on you and manipulate a gift in your life. So be very, that's why you should be very prayerful. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Second one is that you know you have the gift, and this.
You said second one. How many more remain?
No, on this Holy Spirit, this is the last one.
Thank you. Yes.
And you know you have this Holy Spirit. The fruit is there. The gifts are there, flowing very well. But you said something that there will be something that will happen. That you a sign that you will know that you have received the, maybe when that sign happened, when that person received it, the person was not aware or the person did not take note of that. So you want to now know if you truly, despite from that gift, I still want to know, you are not sure in your heart.
Can a pregnant woman deliver and not know she has delivered? That is how the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. It's a definite action. You can never forget it. It's an experience you can't forget. Thank you.
Sir.
Thank you. By this water, hypertension, diabetes, ulcer, cancer, HIV, AIDS, cough, chest problem is over in the name of Jesus. I declare this water a hormonal drug in the name of Jesus. I declare this water the medicine of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ.
I want to ask if a person's handwork or career can disturb the spiritual life. In the sense that if you are doing a hairdresser, if it can disturb a spiritual life.
No, listen. The nature of the job you do, sure, when you find yourself doing anything that works contrary to your faith, it will disturb you spiritually. It's normal. You know, it's very normal. So whatever you do that goes contrary to your faith, The normal thing is to change the job. If not, you'll be offending your conscience and offending your spirit man every day. Take for instance, you are working in a hotel where you are the receptionist that give key to people for short term. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So you understand. So I mean, if you're a true Christian, that would be offending you. Then they pay for 1 hour. Now they don't spend half hour, 1.5 hour. Then you go and knock. Hey, Nathan, don't do. What are they doing there? You know, and you gave them key to go and do what they are doing there. So what would expect you to change your job? Certainly. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
How would someone differentiate the Spirit of God talking to you to the other spirit?
Which other spirit? Go back and listen to the message I preached, how to treat prophecy. When a voice is speaking to you, you must have a way of judging it. Number one, 1 Corinthians 14 speaks about whatever gift you operate must edify, exhort, and comfort. Secondly, what is telling you to do, is it contrary to the Bible? If it is contrary to the Bible, then it is not God, because God can never tell you to do anything contrary to the Bible. So that is what you use in judging the voice you are hearing.
Thank you.
God bless you. The last person now.
That my question is about the Holy Ghost Spirit. According to Bible, anybody that will be saved have his or her name written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And according to word of God as well, and your teaching, anybody that has no baptism of the Holy Spirit can never go for rapture.
Yes.
And Daddy, according to Luke 11:13, we've just read that if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Which means is inviting anybody can ask.
Yep.
My question is, what of those not having their name written in the book of life? If they ask, will they receive Holy Ghost?
Hallelujah. The answer is from two angles. One, listen carefully to my answer. Number one, the evidence of water, that there is water existing. What is the evidence? It's thirst. If there was no water, you will not feel thirsty for water. Now, it's not everybody that bothers himself or bothers herself about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That you are thirsty for the Holy Ghost. Remember, it is that thirst is an action of the Holy Ghost, pushing you to position yourself to receive the Holy Ghost. So, when you see anybody desperately seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is evidence his name is in the book of life. Because it's not everybody that bothers about the Holy Ghost. A lot of people is just religion. Just religion. Now, also, remember also that the Bible says that rain falls on the just and the unjust. So, when you get to a farm, a witch is finished his farm. A righteous brother also farm. The next thing is the righteous one will go and pray. He's expecting rain to come. That witch too is expecting rain to fall. Because he knows if rain doesn't fall, what he plants, it cannot come out. Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, stand up, read it for us if you see it. Verse 7 and verse 8.
7 and 8. For the earth which drinketh in the rain.
See, listen carefully. The earth which drinketh in the rain.
That cometh
upon it.
And bringeth forth herbs.
And brings forth herbs.
Meat for them
by whom it is dressed. What does it do?
Receiveth blessing.
It receiveth blessing from God. But after the rain has fallen.
But that which beareth thorns.
That now, when the fruit come out, the one that bears thorns.
And briars.
What is it?
It's rejected.
It is rejected. And what happens to it?
And is nigh unto cursing. Whose end is to be burned.
In hell fire. Do you catch it there? So, the Holy Ghost will come. But remember, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not by the anointing. The anointing is the Holy Ghost he releases. But remember, the anointing is it comes just on your flesh. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost goes straight to your soul and changes you, while it just makes this one to have more power in another realm to continue his evil. So, the fruit you bear, that is the briars and thorns he's talking about. What happens in that farm, it is packed and put where? In fire. Letting you know that there are people that will receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost, but they will end up in hell, fire. So let them continue to ask. The reason you are asking for the Holy Ghost, there are people that are coming for this program. All their praying is for God to give them the anointing, so that they can go and start a church and then have some more money. Yes, hell is awaiting them, but they will receive the anointing. But at the end, their fruit will lead them to hell. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. God bless you. Church, clap your hands for our God. Church, clap your hands for our God.
Chapter 19. Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says,